It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
This is an evil sound.
Good.
You know what I learned recently?
What's that?
King Cobra? The snake?
Yeah.
Not a snake. It is a snake. Not a cobra.
Oh, it's not a cobra.
No, it is its own genus. That's Latin for basically snake-eating snake, because it eats other snakes.
Oh.
And it doesn't hiss. It essentially barks. I heard the sound, and it's like...
Really?
And it's because they have a membrane in their throat or in their mouth that vibrates not unlike a kazoo does.
Hmm.
And so it makes this weird noise. And... they are the most venomous snake known in the world in that they have the largest amount of venom in them. Their venom isn't more deadly than others or anything, but they just have a shit ton in it, and they will envenom, they will bite you all the time. Like, you know, some snakes, like, they basically have one shot and they bite and they secrete the venom and then it's done. Like, no, they have a ton of venom in them. So... fascinating things I learned recently about the king cobra. Not a cobra.
Not a cobra.
Nope.
I did not know.
Not that. A continuation of benefits. I don't remember what that stands for. The healthcare thing. Where if you get, if you lose your job, if you keep paying.
Oh, yeah.
They call it cobra.
Yeah, they do call it that.
Did you ever watch G.I. Joe?
The cartoon?
Yes.
It was a little bit after my time.
Right.
But a kid that came over watched it, so I kind of saw it sometimes.
So
Cobra Commander.
G.I. Joe, and there's Cobra Commander, who is weird. And then you find out, and like there was a Cobra! That was their war cry when they would attack and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to G.I. Joe is Yo Joe, which, whatever. Anyway, time goes on. They do a mini-series of G.I. Joe called The Rise of Serpentor.
Okay.
Because they made a new bad guy called Serpentor, and he was like genetically created, and he was part snake and shit, and he was real badass and all this stuff. But in the process, he discovers that Cobra actually goes back to this ancient civilization called Cobra La. Like Shangri-La, but Cobra La. And their war cry is Cobra la 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 la. And they have nothing to do with snakes.
Oh, okay.
At all.
So he wasted his time with that whole becoming a snake thing.
Well, that was just Cobra's thing. And Cobra Commander is like part snake. But that was like a weird punishment from, because he was from Cobra Law. And then he was punished with some sort of mutating thing. And that's why he sounds like this. Because he's like part snake. And in fact, in the miniseries, he gets turned into completely snake. And then he's gone. But yeah, it was really weird because it was like a very sort of biopunk thing. Like everything that Cobra Law had was like actually an insect that they just like wore, or that made a bridge, or like something like that. So that was kind of cool. But then years later, I'm like, that's dumb. Like, why? And it also means that later, the guy who would become Cobra Commander was like, I'm going to start an evil paramilitary organization. I know. I'll call them Cobra Law, but without the law. So it'll just be Cobra. Hey, that's like a snake. Let's put a snake on all of our stuff. This is just jibing perfectly.
Hey,
this is a wonderful coincidence.
Hey, that's like a snake.
Yeah.
No, my G.I. Joes were 12-inch figures and cool, large accessories, you know, really neat stuff.
And no kung fu grip.
No, but very articulated, though. I mean, you could open the close the hands, and the wrists moved, and
not
you
could, the same as Kung Fu Grip.
Though. You could pose them just about any way you want.
I was G.I. Joe's to me, because Star Wars figures did not work right.
No.
They had no knees. They had no elbows.
That's right.
G.I. Joe's were a step up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had knees, you mean the elbows. Little ones? Yeah.
Oh.
And they could twist.
Okay.
They could twist the
waist.
Waist.
Right? Yeah.
And do you know how they could do that?
How? I mean.
Like what the mechanism was? I know that inside they had a rubber band hooked from the top to the bottom.
That's the way a lot of the larger figures did too. I had a Pulsar. You probably don't know about Pulsar.
No.
But he was a 12-inch figure, and it wasn't a rubber band, but it was the same principle because it was a rubber ring. It was thicker than a rubber band.
Yeah, no, so was this. Yeah,
and that's how he would.
It was just a band of
if
rubber.
If you twisted it, he would twist. He would like spin.
No, this is the thing. And this is how I know, because I discovered this.
Yeah.
And I would incorporate this into my pretend play.
Oh.
So they would do like whirlwind punches and stuff.
Yeah, whirlwind punches.
And eventually, being me, who has always been driven to excess even when I was a child, I found out if you twist far enough,
it'll break.
Yeah, and then you get to see what's going on inside because your G.I. Joe is broken.
Yeah. No, the way I found
out. So that
was
how I learned a lot of lessons at once.
The rubber for this figure was really thick, so I could never have broken it. But if you pulled on it hard enough, you could see in there.
Okay.
Because when the way I discovered it was when I made him twist, sometimes he'd kind of slowly come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought,
and you were like, holy shit, he's alive.
Why is it doing that? And then I realized, oh, because there's rubber in there. It's almost like a spring action thing.
Meanwhile, He-Man toys, no elastic rubber thing going on, but you could snap off their arms.
But did you put them back?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it was the same because it was just a ball joint thing.
Sure, right.
So you could switch them around.
Oh, you could give them Skeletor's arms and stuff.
And then we did this all the time, right. Especially if it was one of the rare ones who, like, his arm was an axe or something like that. We're like, now He-Man has an X arm. Shit like that. Like, we'd pretend like you got different powers if you had different arms and stuff. So.
Yeah, that kid would watch He-Man also. That's why.
Who was this kid? Why was this kid showing up at your house and watching shit?
I think I've talked about him before.
Feral child you found
now,
in there?
No, when we were all older, so there, we had some neighbors. Of course, for us, neighbors were like almost a mile away. But anyway, they both worked. The parents both worked.
Yeah.
But they had a son who was a hemophiliac. And so,
is that somebody who really loves He-Man?
You know what a hemophiliac is.
I know, but it was just too, like, we were just talking about He-Man. He's like, he was a hemophiliac.
So,
He-Man-philiac.
They needed someone to look after him. Who would be, you know...
Wouldn't cut him?
Who would... No, actually...
You did want to cut him.
They weren't concerned about him getting injured. They were concerned about the person knowing what to do if he got injured. They specifically didn't want him treated like, you know, a champagne glass or something. They wanted him to play and do stuff.
Yeah, champagne glasses don't bleed at all, so that would be ridiculous.
They wanted him to play and stuff and risk getting injured, but they wanted the person to know what to do if he did get injured. That's what they were concerned about. So... It was hard for them to find anyone who would do that, but my mom agreed. So this boy would come to our house, and we got to know him, but he was watching all these cartoons when he was a kid, and so I saw them sometimes while he was watching them. And he'd bring over his He-Man and Skeletor and his playset and stuff.
Oh, so I knew He-Man.
So that's how I know anything about any of this stuff. His name was, what was the kid's name? I don't remember the kid's name. Adams was the last name of the family.
Talk to your dad. This is going to be one of those where, like, nobody knew this kid except you. It was a ghost child that no one else could see.
No, in fact...
he died 50 years earlier in this very house.
They're friends of the family.
Of
everything.
Hemophilia.
Everybody knows. In fact, everybody else knows him better than I do because I went off to college shortly thereafter. But the younger kids in my family got to know the kid really well because he kept going and mom kept taking care of him. So they knew him really well.
There's a James A. Caster bit one time where he's like pretending to be a real estate agent. And he says, they say this house is haunted, which is why I'm the one showing it to you. A dead Victorian child with a hump trying to explain fixed rate mortgages.
Oh, Jared, that was the kid's name.
I'm weirded out that that's what got you there.
No, I remembered it right before you started telling
your
story.
You were like, picture your mom saying, Jared, stop bleeding all over the carpet. Yep, Jared.
No. I don't know why I remembered it.
You didn't. Do you want to talk on a podcast? Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that sounds as good as it looks.
That is true. Mm. I'm surprised we've never made that observation before.
Mm. I'm Evil Tony.
And I'm Evil William.
And if you hear purring, it's Evil Twiglet. Yeah. Evil Twiglet.
You know what? We need to move this because I can't have this penny just sitting here mocking.
Oh, you got to go throw it at the child. We're going to pause for a minute while William goes out and finds the child.
I just put it out of my view.
Flings it at him.
And now it's fine.
Whipping pennies at kids.
I just can't help myself.
Okay, I got to explain this show. All right. For those of you who've never listened before, this is a hat. It's magic. Has his own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, lonely people, desperate people, people who just want to know someone's out there, even if it's just a piece of headgear. Write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, stuff like that.
Yep.
The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. Two nerf herders, I want to say.
Sure, why not?
It's one of the only good jokes out of the Family Guy version of Star Wars. Is at one point, Han Solo says nerf herder, and the guy playing Chewbacca is like, hey, you don't say that. That's our word. Two nerf herders draw the cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them because they have nothing better to do. Do that for about an hour. And that's their show, except most of it's not that. And when they can't be bothered, the universe aligns to torture us, who are very similar to them, except that we are cool, a.k.a. we are evil. And so we do it.
And we have goatees.
That's how you know.
I mean, that it kind of goes without saying when you're over here, but people over there don't get it.
Everything has goatees over here. This morning, I had a fried egg with a goatee for breakfast. Now, I just call that a fried egg.
Yeah.
But apparently, in other universes, their fried eggs don't have goatees.
Which sounds so gross.
Right?
Let's stop talking about it. Yeah. It's starting to make me feel sick.
All right. So, how was your arbitrary amount of space-time?
Evil.
Good.
Was that good and evil.
Was that your stomach? Or did you say good and evil?
I mean, thoroughly evil.
And I hate being happy, and that makes me angry.
Thoroughly evil is what I mean.
All right.
Good and evil.
Like
good and plenty. No, not like good and plenty.
Really not. No.
Like, okay, never
evil
mind.
And plenty.
Yeah.
Of course, good and plenties are licorice flavored.
I don't know.
So I feel like that's evil.
Maybe. Never mind.
Somebody recently. Who the hell was I talking to? Because it was a really inane conversation on par with what I normally have with you. But it definitely wasn't with you.
Oh.
But somebody was really amazed to find out there was a town in Michigan called Hell.
Oh.
And they were talking about that. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know people who went there. And it's a thing. And it's not super far from a town called Paradise. And so you can go from Hell to Paradise.
Yeah. It's a little ways. You got to go up to the Upper Peninsula to get to Paradise. But.
And at what point do you weigh your heart against a feather? Or?
Well, there's a bridge you have to go over and you have to pay a toll.
You have to answer question three, and
no,
you give them a goat,
or you can just give them some money.
That's boring.
I know. You'd think that they would. You couldn't get by with that, but you can just give them money.
Right.
And the lecture of the bridge. It's a long bridge, too.
You could
stop at the bridge. You could say, you know what, forget it. I've been to hell, and I'm not going to go take the bridge over to where paradise is.
I know a lot of people who have done that.
I'll just go to Mackinac Island and shop, and then I'll go home.
Oh, it's near Mackinac Island?
Yes.
Isn't that the island with no cars or whatever?
Yes.
All right.
So if you go to hell, then you... I mean, it's a few... I don't know. I forget how long it is from hell to Mackinac. But we stayed in a hotel, and then we went to Mackinac for like a day. And then we headed over the bridge. It's a long bridge, too. And then you pay a toll... And then you can go on to paradise, and it's just like an hour after that. So, yeah, it's not that far.
How is paradise?
Paradise is small. It's a small town. And, you know, it's a nice little town.
About 322 people.
Something like that.
A lot of froyo.
Not a lot of people in paradise. But
it's one really helpful lady named Janet.
And if you want a souvenir shirt, you can get one. And there's even a souvenir shirt for hell to paradise.
Yeah, like, no, I remember.
People take motorcycle trips is what they do. When we went to hell, we've been to hell a couple times, and my wife
thought I find that fascinating.
My wife thought it would be
why
fun.
Would you go to hell a second time?
Well, the first time I went to hell, we went to a wedding in Michigan, and my siblings decided, hey, let's go to hell.
They were like, this wedding isn't in hell, but you can see it from here.
Yeah, so let's go to hell. And we did.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's the first time. And the second time I went was with my wife.
Oh, so she had never been to hell.
She'd never been to hell.
Okay.
Just me.
So it was to let her experience hell. I'm like, hell's not worth repeat trips, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. I mean, for what? Well, like, okay. So when we were there, they were building they were just building the miniature golf course that got there.
There's mini golf in hell.
So I've never played mini golf in hell. So I might do that.
I mean, that fits.
Playing mini golf in hell. So my wife thought it would be fun when we went to hell. We went to a convenience store that was in hell, and she bought one of those Hostess snowballs. I probably told you this before. So she could eat a snowball in hell.
Because it had no chance. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She thought that was pretty funny. I did too. But so you go to hell, and there's a store there. But there's a creek. There's Hell Creeks there and Hell.
Wait, there's a store?
Nah, there's a couple stores because you can get ice cream in hell, believe it or not.
Tourism is really not – this was not as big a moneymaker as they were hoping.
Well, it's not really a town. It's like an incorporated area type thing.
Dang.
Like a village, I think, is what they call it.
Okay.
But no, it's not.
No.
So it's –
this is providing like the livelihood of like five people.
Hell makes – money because of people like me.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I think it's so cool, and I buy stuff when I go there. I've been there more than once. I'd probably go again, just to say, hey, where did you go? Well, I went to hell. I don't know why. I just think that's hilarious. But that's the trip where my wife and I went from hell to paradise, and we visited all kinds of things. I think I told you we went and saw a cranberry bog, and we went to the shipwreck museum that's up in the Upper Peninsula. We did all kinds of stuff. It was very
fun.
Did you
go to Marquette?
No, I don't think so.
I want to go to Marquette.
And then we drove.
That's where Joe, the fictional character Joe Pera, lives in Marquette.
I don't know who that is.
You've said this several times, and I always tell you, Joe Pera talks to you.
Oh, okay.
That's Joe Pera.
Is that a real town, though?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, if you make the trip from hell to paradise, there's so many cool things to do on the way that it's a pretty fun vacation. And then if you drive back, you can just drive back through like Green Bay and stuff, and that's kind of
purgatory.
Nice.
Limbo.
We didn't even think about it before we left about how you have to go over a bridge and pay a toll before you get to paradise. We thought that was hilarious.
Don't eat an apple there though. As it should have gone to a convenience store in paradise, eat an apple.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Snake told me to. And especially, I think you're supposed to do it naked and not, like, act totally normal. And then after you eat it, be, like, really embarrassed.
Yeah. I'll have to remember that.
And technically, she should eat it and then have you eat it.
And then let me have some.
Yeah. Hmm. And then the grocer's like, you didn't pay for that. Also, no shirt, no shoes, no service. Get out of here. This might be pushing it.
And then put an angel in front of the door so he can't get
back
in.
Yeah, 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 with the flaming sword. That's a little on the nose. I don't know about that.
Well, I don't know.
So, okay, before this seizure you just had happen, I made the thing about the measuring your heart against the weight of a feather.
Yeah,
it's an Egyptian thing. Yeah. Osiris does it.
Yeah, Egyptian thing.
So, is your heart, which is supposed to be like your soul, or that's what they thought was the, like they thought the brain was nothing, but that was, your heart was the big thing. Against the weight of a feather. That feels like a weird choice when you're coming up with the religion. Like, a feather is very light.
Yeah, well, but sin weighs your heart down.
Yes, but weight also weighs your heart down. Well, like,
I don't know if they thought of the heart weighing anything other than but, by, you know.
So were they saying it's really easy? Is it supposed to be really hard?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's supposed to be difficult.
Okay, so very few people can pull it off.
Yes, right.
All
right,
so most people. Okay.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I took it. Like, wow, that's pretty heavy. No pun intended. That's really difficult to get through there because if your heart has to be as light as a feather, like you said, you think just its weight would disqualify you.
Fill it with helium.
Well, you know, the implication too is that it's not just a matter of not being sinful. If you do good things and you're generous and it gets lighter. Yeah,
really? Is that, you think?
I mean, that's the implication, but yes, I think
in your time in the priesthood of Set or whatever,
it's supposed to be difficult. Yes, it's supposed to be very difficult.
Okay,
the burden on you is supposed to be great. For you're supposed to really sweat it out for your heart to be light enough.
Yeah.
You know,
that's always fascinating. I want to do a survey sometime of different religions and how easy or difficult it is supposedly to get into paradise. But I probably would also have to have an axis of arbitrariness, because like with a lot of Christian denominations, it is very easy to get into heaven, but very specific.
Mm.
So like I know a lot of ones that like pretty much you have to just feel genuinely sorry for the bad stuff you do and specifically ask Jesus for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then you're covered. And I'm like, that seems really easy, but also really specific.
Well, I think that what you would find if you did a survey of the whole thing is that by and large what happens is if a religion goes to the trouble of having a clearly defined afterlife and a, you know, heaven and or hell, it also comes with some very specific.
Yeah, there needs to be behavioral modification because everybody's going to be, otherwise they're going to be like, oh, I get to go there afterwards? Cool, see you later.
Well, but that's the whole point of creating the place.
Yeah.
You don't, the place doesn't come first and then the rules second. The rules come first.
Sky cake.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that people miss sometimes is that the desire for a certain kind of social control comes first, then the religion. It's not, the religion doesn't come and then, hey, we could use this religion for social control. No. The religion is social control.
That's how I invented my religion.
You wanted a particular kind of social control?
No, I just invented my religion. Then I was like, I could use this for social control.
Yeah. If a religion isn't being used specifically for social control, it doesn't often have a lot of rules and regulations, as you might expect. It just has a lot of features of, like, where did everything come from? And
orgies. A lot of orgies. All right, I'm bored.
Should I draw something on that?
Also, this the weather is very unusual for the time of year it is, and it has caused me to sweat / shiver, depending on what time it is.
See Beth, once it, again, so. Is apparently too verbose for the hat.
I've heard that of her before.
Beth says, I had a baby in August named Thomas. He is awesome. we're moving back to Iowa City.
Huh. So.
Which August? This, like, the August that just happened, or?
Probably.
Not 2 Augusts ago.
It seems unlikely.
Okay.
Or is she writing from the future and it's next August? No, here's what I'm trying to figure out, though. She says she had a baby.
And I guess he came out named Thomas.
Well, she doesn't say she gave birth to a baby.
So she doesn't still have it?
And I don't know how she got it.
Well, Thomas.
Thomas the Tank Baby.
Yeah.
So many good titles for this episode.
She could have bought it somewhere.
Yeah, but then lost it in a
So she went shopping
game,
for a baby.
Yeah.
And there was one named Thomas. She
and
thought
it was awesome.
It was awesome, so she got it, but now she doesn't have it anymore.
I guess not.
And she maybe, does that mean she's moving back to Iowa City because she's angry or sad?
No, to find, I think they're on the trail of Thomas, what? The awesome baby,
Thomas Awesome Baby.
Thomas Awesome, Possum Baby.
Tom's.
I hate this. All right, the baby, they're coming here.
Why would Awesome Baby Tom come here and leave them there?
Well, they're in D.C., I think. So,
probably.
Iowa City is awesome. D.C. is not.
No.
So,
Well, do you think Thomas will come here? Like,
to my house?
Yeah. Like, maybe Thomas has heard our podcast, and maybe that's why he's coming here.
Beth, do you play our podcast for your baby? That's not good for a baby.
No, do not do that.
No, it is well-known teratogen. Our podcast.
Well, she used to have an awesome baby named Thomas that she bought in August.
That is cool.
And now she's coming to Iowa City to look for Thomas, you say. That makes sense.
I don't know. Yeah, that's Occam's razor.
Something tells me he will be here when she is.
It's kind of bad we got this question, you know, rather than people who both will show more enthusiasm and are rooted in time and space.
Oh, over there, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They would probably be like, that is so cool. Oh, my God.
You remember?
We're going to see your baby, and then you'd be back here. You have to come see us. That'll be awesome. But, like, we wouldn't do that because we're evil and in a different universe, and we don't care.
Yeah. Did we ever look up the evil Beth?
No. You don't want to.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
She is into some heavy shit.
Oh, you know this already.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's famous in the wrong circles.
Does she have a baby named Thomas? Do you know?
You know, I don't.
It's possible. You know, parallel universe and all that.
I know. She's killed a lot of babies. I don't know their names.
Probably a Thomas in there.
Yeah,
pretty popular
odds are.
Name, really.
I wonder if he was awesome.
It's probably a William. Probably a Tony. Anthony or whatever. I don't know.
I don't know either. So tired.
Me too.
Dead babies.
I'm tired too.
All right. This is from Craig.
Craig?
Craig. What meme would best represent the podcast?
Like existing meme?
I assume. I don't know. I'm kind of disgusted by the question. In general.
You know, I'm not.
If your podcast was a Tumblr blog, what kind of avatar would it have?
Tumblr blogs have avatars?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm just saying. Fucking kids today.
Right?
Memes.
And
they're running away to Iowa City.
Meme, I don't know. What kind, I mean, what, like, I don't have no idea. I don't know what a good meme is.
We're going to go with Good Guy Greg. And it's going to say, only has like 3 listeners to the podcast. Keeps it going anyway for 8 years.
Good Guy Greg.
Good Guy Greg is a
I'll take your word for it.
Or Scumbag Steve. Has a podcast for 8 years. Ceases to put, never bothers to put any more effort into it. These are not good. Maybe we do the Gersberms girl.
Okay.
And we'll be like, the magical talking hurt. My favorite podcast.
I like that. That's old, though. That's like old news.
Doge, we could, you know.
Is there a grumpy cat
one? Wow. So podcast. Much hat. Very talking. Wow.
I have no idea if that, I don't know what that is.
That is a, you don't, see, this is the thing. You know more than a lot of people know about that meme.
I do?
Yes. The Doge meme is pictures of Shiba Inus being really impressed by, and it just says, wow. And then it has, like, the words taken out of context like that. But, like, they're very impressed, but they have bad English. But it's called the Doge meme. D-O-G-E. Do you know why? Where have you heard that before?
I don't know.
You're my dog. My D-O-G-E.
What?
I'm your Doge?
They got it from Homestar?
Yep. I looked it up one time. I don't know why. I mean, it has, like, nothing to do with it, but I'm your Doge? Yeah.
I know nothing of memes.
There's a website for that.
Maybe it could be, like, a Game of Thrones meme, but you wouldn't know anything about those, right?
Podcast is coming. That's all I know.
Something about a hat, though. There's got to be a hat in it.
One does not simply walk into Westeros.
I do know that one. One does not simply pull questions out of the hat.
Yes. Dramatic chipmunk?
Oh, I thought that was like a little almost Vine length thing.
Yeah, it was before Vine.
Yep. Talking hat.
I've wanted to study memetics, but I don't know that I can, because I want to study memetics as a narrative device. And unfortunately, everybody who does memetics treats it like an actual real science, and they're shitty at that.
Well, probably a bigger problem with memetics is they treat it like genetics, and they don't understand genetics either.
No.
They're wrong about genetics also.
But it's too bad, because I think that's interesting.
You know, this whole selfish gene nonsense.
Yeah.
But if you... What?
Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. One of the best webcomics out there. You should be looking at it. Just today, this doctor and the guy with his baby says, we've tested your baby, sir, and your baby has the Satan gene.
Oh.
He's like, what? No. He's like, yes. He has a 0.01% more likely chance to be evil. And he's like, no, you're wrong. Wait, did you say 0.01%? And the doctor says, it's one gene. That's a really high correlation.
Yep.
So.
Well, maybe you could take memetics in a direction like a person would have to take genetics if they weren't going to talk about it stupid. Like you could, if you're talking about genetics, you can say, look, okay, genes are just a tiny, tiny part of the puzzle. Sometimes they feed back with one another. You know, you need to talk about symbiosis. You need to talk about ecosystems. Maybe there's a way to talk about memetics that broadens the scope to something that's more realistic into how ideas and things actually spread.
No, I think the other direction. I think I want to get even more ridiculously.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
Pop science-y bullshit. Like, I want to take
a selfish meme.
I want to take the stupid racial, like, genetic memory concept.
But then
we add memetics.
Yes, yes.
So if you tell people certain things, it changes their DNA.
Right.
Like an idea will change their DNA.
Like
Like in Snow Crash.
Like, if you...
The Namsheb of Enki.
In 10 years from now, you take a baby, you raise it without any exposure to the internet, and then you show it memes, and it gets them all because its parents got them all.
Yeah.
I understand these memes. How can you understand them? I don't know.
I do... Overall, I do not believe in genetic memory. There are two exceptions.
Okay, where are they?
I believe that every human being, innately, in their genes, knows how to play on the piano the bass line to Heart and Soul.
Well, that's... Okay, that's obvious. That goes without saying.
And knows at least the opening verse and the chorus of Don't Stop Believin' by Journey. Even if they don't know any more English.
At least that.
Yeah. I have found people who get tripped up in the second verse and
sure,
stuff.
Yeah.
There's only a second verse. That song is short.
Yeah, it really isn't very long.
A while back I heard it. I'm like, why did they cut it off? And I was like, what? What do you think else is there? And I'm like, no, that was the whole song. It's not that long. Yeah, no, I do believe those. I've always maintained that those are embedded in our DNA. Mitochondrial Eve sitting around.
Well, as I understand it, the song was composed starting out with that genetic memory and then built some song around it.
It would have to be.
That's why people can't remember the rest of it, because that's not in the memory.
Just
the chorus and stuff.
It was, Neanderthals died out. They had the third verse to Don't Stop Believing.
It's gone forever now, unless they painted it on a wall somewhere.
Man, Assassin's Creed has gotten weird. They have really run out of material.
Yep.
All right, let's do another one. We're really booking it through these questions.
Burning them up. Sorry, everybody. I kind of yelled in the microphone there.
Me too. Just now, I wanted to be involved.
Another one, apparently long question for Beth.
Boo.
What's the hat got against her?
She writes too much. Like, not too often, but too much.
If you were in charge, or in your case, since you're in charge.
Since I'm in charge.
What historic events should become holidays, and how should they be celebrated? Well, actually, I have written a letter to the State House to celebrate certain holidays in December commemorating Iowa events.
Of course you have.
I didn't hear back.
Is this Mr. Hyatt?
No, it was the Honey War in December.
Oh, God.
I've told you the story of the Honey War, have I not?
I want to say yes, so you won't tell me.
Okay.
But no, I don't think you have. Tell me about the Honey War.
Well, I believe it was 1839.
Wait, is this just a Berenstain Bears?
No.
Thing? All right.
I hope that's the right year. 1839, I do believe.
If you're wrong... absolutely nothing will happen.
That's true. But someone will look it up and they'll get the right date. But anyway.
No one's going to look this up.
So, 1839.
Picture it. Sicily.
Iowa. And Missouri. The Iowa-Missouri border.
All right.
Okay.
Picturing it. Just fireworks stands.
There are some tax collectors in Missouri going about their business collecting Missouri state taxes.
Seems fair.
They get to a town, and they go to the citizens there, and they say, we're here to collect your Missouri taxes. And the people in that town say, this is not Missouri. This is Iowa.
Oh.
We don't owe you any taxes.
Oh.
The tax people say, no, this is Missouri, all right, when you owe us taxes. And they said, no, we do not. So the tax people eventually gave up, but on their way back south, they supposedly, legend has it, that they chopped down a honey tree to take the honey as the taxes.
All right.
That they were owed.
I'm just going to pause you for a second here. Honey tree?
Well, yes. I mean, you could have a hive that's like in the hollow of the tree, not just like a...
A tree with a beehive in it.
Yeah.
I feel like honey tree...
Well, it's just what they called it.
I feel like that's not right. I feel like that's implying like it was a tree that grows honey. We pick the honey off the tree.
If you look up this story, that's just what they're going to call it, a honey tree.
Again, no one's ever going to look up this story.
So anyway, so they take the honey, and of course the people back who believe they're in Iowa, they are pretty mad about this, but they don't do anything about it at first.
Because the tax collectors have been stung to death by this point.
No. So the tax collectors take the honey, and the people are kind of mad, but they don't do anything at first. Later,
when they develop nuclear technology.
No, later, some sheriff from Missouri, I believe, comes up to address the issue somehow, and now the people take that sheriff into custody. By all accounts,
this is the plot of Wicker Man, and not the good Wicker Man. This is the plot of the shitty Nicolas Cage Wicker Man.
They take the sheriff into custody, and by all accounts, treated him very well. In fact, he was probably happier with them than he was back home. But anyway, having him in custody, this caused a little bit of an incident. And the people in Missouri, decidedly Missouri, were upset at the people in Iowa, maybe Missouri. And the governors even got involved. Governor Lucas, you know, sent some strong words to whoever was the governor of Missouri.
So,
and the militia was called up because they were going to fight. But the militia that showed up from Iowa, they didn't have any guns. They just had like old swords, rusty swords, and blunderbusses and crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And they showed up at the border and they were yelling, you know, that they were going to kill the Pukes, because Pukes, that's a person from Missouri, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know if anyone from Missouri showed up yet, but the people showed up at the Iowa border, and they mostly did a lot of drinking and getting ready to fight. But then someone said, no, the courts are going to take care of it. It's going to go to the courts, and they're going to decide where the Iowa-Missouri border is.
Do you mean that they were already standing on?
Well, that they may have been standing on. Nobody quite knew where the border was, is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was no actual fight, but people did show up, like, to fight. There was going to be a war between Iowa and Missouri, and the governors were, like, yelling at each other in letters.
Mm.
But at some point, someone stepped in and said, we'll have the Supreme Court or whoever decide. And so everybody went home, and I think it was, like, even a couple years later, that's when the border as it's known today between Iowa and Missouri was decided. And indeed, those people lived in Iowa and did not owe any Missouri taxes.
All right. Now, I have questions. So, tax collectors are like, you're Missouris.
Yes. Missourians, I guess.
Pukes.
Yeah, you're Pukes, like us. Right?
Like us. Give us some money. And they're like, no, we are Iowesians.
And so they took
like,
some money.
No. And then they're like, well, fine, we're taking your honey tree, because that's where honey grows.
A tree with honey in it, yes.
And the people
a
were
couple,
like,
I think,
yeah. Ah, fuck you.
Basically.
Now here's where I get confused.
Yeah, I don't remember why the sheriff.
Sheriff is like, hey, everybody.
I don't.
And the people are like, honey tree, and like put him in a cage.
Well, yeah, kind of. I think he went up there for some other official purpose. Again, also thinking that they were from Missouri.
Okay.
I don't know what.
So they weren't
was.
Specifically trying to ransom him for honey trees. They were just like, we are not putting up with this Missouri bullshit again.
Right. That's right.
So we will adopt you.
No, it was more of a a retaliation. Like, we're going to hold this guy
until
maybe they wanted some kind of remuneration for the trees. I don't know.
Give us
it was.
Three brownie bushes.
But this kind of thing happened all the time in the 19th century, where people would just kidnap somebody, and I think they did make demands, but sometimes they would just hold a person and say, this person's ours now. I mean, you know, it was weird,
and
but
so
that
then
kind of thing happened.
And so then the Missouri governor is like, screw you guys, we're going to come get them?
Well, I don't remember who contacted who first, but
so each governor thought
their
right,
people
so they
were
both
right.
They both, but who did they think were their people? Did everybody think they were in Iowa?
No. The people who said they were in Iowa.
Yes.
The Governor Lucas said, yeah, they're Iowans.
All right. And what was the Missouri governor saying?
That no, they're not Iowans. They're Missourians.
And we will. So who's fighting? Like,
Well,
so you're both on the side of those people.
The militia that Lucas called up and the militia that the Missouri governor called up would have been fighting
each
other.
Oh, so the Missouri governor is like, these are my people and they're being assholes. I'm going to deal with them.
Well, it was more like, we're going to settle this right now where this line is. We're going to fight and whoever wins will say where the line is.
Okay.
That's what it was. And if the Missourians won, they'd put the line someplace where those people would have been Missourians, not Iowans.
Mm.
But the Supreme Court decided, no, the line is here, and those people are Iowans. So Missouri kind of lost, in a way.
They kept the honey tree.
Yeah, they got the honey.
I mean...
So they call it the Honey War, even though there wasn't real war, but it's because of the honey trees. And it's in late December. And so I thought this would be fun to commemorate, you know, that like the governors could send each other humorous, you know, talking smack to each other or stuff. And then maybe they could make up by sending each other like gift baskets with their own honey products from both states or something. You know, it could be some fun thing like that.
Reenactors could go to the border and get drunk and do nothing.
with old rusty swords and
buy fireworks.
And sausage stuffers and things like that as weapons. Yeah.
Sausage stuffer.
Yeah. Someone showed up with a sausage stuffer.
What is that? Is that a euphemism?
No, I think it's in the sausage grinder, you know, when you're putting the meat in, you have to push it down.
Okay.
There's an implement you use to do that.
And it's specific? It's not just like a stick?
No, it's a specific thing.
Huh.
Like if you get, I mean, have you ever ground meat before?
I am sad to say no.
Okay, well, my mom used to grind. Sometimes she wouldn't buy ground beef. She would grind.
Grab the smallest child.
No. But when
just
you
put a cow in
when
there.
You put it in the grinder, you've got to push it down.
No, I mean the physics involved makes sense.
And so that thing that you use to push it down in there is usually specially made for that purpose.
Mm.
And so a sausage grinder is usually quite a bit bigger, and so the thing that you're using is like a big club, I think. If recollection serves, I mean, someone can look that up and maybe.
Because sausage stuffer.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Outside of context just sounds like a really horrible euphemism of some sort. I'm not even entirely sure of the logistics, but it doesn't sound good.
I mean, have you seen sausage being made before?
Nobody likes to watch sausage getting made.
Well, like you take the intestinal
No, now that I have the context.
You put it on the and so when you're grinding it goes right in, you know. So
I'm just saying if a guy on the street came up to me and says, "I'm going to get you with my sausage stuffer."
You'd think that would sound
something very different.
Not like a big stick.
That is, well, I mean.
I mean an actual stick.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I feel like.
Anyway.
I feel like it sounds like something very unwholesome.
When you read accounts of it, it actually sounds pretty humorous. That's why I wanted to celebrate it, because it would be fun and funny. And border towns might get a kick out of it and some income. But it's so close to Christmas, maybe it wouldn't work. I don't know.
Yeah,
well, maybe
no.
That's why it
we
would
need
work.
Stuff. We need stuff at times when there is not. So we need like a good spring one.
Well, but the thing is,
we got Easter, I guess. We need ow!
Iowa's anniversary is around the same time. The Iowa became a state in late December, so you could kind of group it all together. Iowa's birthday and honey days could all be kind of together.
You know,
like a week. Iowa days or something.
Oregon, when it was going to become a state, they voted on it.
Yeah.
And they literally drew a line in the dirt. And they were like, if you vote for becoming state, stand on this side. If you're against, stand on this side. And they did it. And more people were on the no side.
Mm.
But some very important people were on the yes side, and so a particularly large one of them walked over to the other side and literally started flinging people.
No way.
Across the line.
What? Come on.
It's the line is at a place called Champuig State Park, and yeah, supposedly.
Wow.
Yeah, and like he was scary enough that like they went with it because that is like. That is how then supposedly we became a state.
Why did nobody want it to be a state?
I don't know.
I seem to recall Oregon had some some serious conflict, like with Canada involved and stuff. Did Canada want that area or think it was theirs?
That was a thing. There was some debate over the Oregon territories, which was basically Oregon, Washington, Idaho.
Okay.
Because, like, Lewis and Clark went out and found it. And then that was it. Like, nobody went out there for a long time.
Right.
So, and then when people did go, I was allowed to fur trappers and stuff like that. So, yeah, there was some debate over that. But, yeah, so my home state, my state of origin, just throwing people over the line.
Throwing people over.
Until we got enough. I figured it'd just been easier to move the line.
Yeah, you could just kicked it, erased it, and then just drawn it somewhere else.
Yeah. People back then weren't that smart. They stole honey trees, imprisoned sheriffs.
I mean, I don't even know how much of the story is true, but if you look it up.
I don't believe a word of it. I think you made it all up.
No, I didn't make it up. If you look it up, it's pretty funny. I think it's hilarious, but
nobody's ever going
to
look it up.
Yeah, I wrote to the State House and said, hey, you should have like a set, you know, maybe a whole week because you've got the University of Iowa, you got Honey Days. And I think also there's some date in there that's relevant to when the Louisiana Purchase was handed over to the United States, which I was in that Louisiana Purchase, right? So it's like all these things. You could have a whole week of Iowa celebrations.
You were in the Louisiana Purchase.
No, Iowa, you know.
Oh, I thought you were saying
Iowa was part of the Louisiana Purchase. So that's an important date for Iowa.
You didn't even get a form letter back, did you?
Nope, not a thing.
You are on a list now.
Actually, you know what? I wrote it to a senator, I think, who is now retired. So now I know I'll never hear.
Oh. Arkin?
No, a state house senator.
Oh. Dvorsky. Should have written to her.
Dvorsky was his name. Now the guy that's...
Dvorsky?
Yeah. Now the guy that's our senator...
How is that a real name?
It is. Dvorsky, D-V-O-R.
As opposed to legal separation ski?
No. Dvorsky.
That sounds like...
D-V-O-R.
People...
S-K?
Like...
I forget.
Like people from Milwaukee are talking about people getting divorced. It's like, yeah, he cheated on her and then it was Dvorsky.
Now our senator is that guy with the gay moms. What's his name?
That guy with the gay moms.
Well, you know, he had this viral video.
Would have been weird if it was that guy with the straight moms.
Not necessarily.
I mean, it is coming up more and more, but. Yeah.
But he had that viral video, you know, he was defending gay marriage because his moms are gay. And
Yeah.
And he's from here. He's from Iowa City.
But you write him about it.
Walls, I think his last name's Walls. I don't think he'd be in favor. But I could write him. I could find the very thing that I sent and just send that.
I can't not. Why don't you think he'd be in favor?
Oh, you know.
Do you think gay people don't like history?
He's not gay.
Do you think the children of gay people don't like history?
No, I get emails from him about, you know, the stuff that's going on. He probably would think that there are far more important things happening.
How on earth could he possibly think that?
You're funny. Because when I first sent this, this was years ago. This was before now, when everything's a big crisis. So there's no way if I sent this, it's going to seem very important.
I'd still think you're on a list.
When I sent it a long time ago, this was the kind of this is actually the kind of thing Iowa legislators used to do, is like proclaim special holidays and all this stuff. Now it's also gloom and doom and serious. Like every decision is the biggest decision in the world.
Now,
if you make the wrong decision, you're Hitler, kind of thing.
It was a simpler time.
It was.
Men were men. Women were women. And a candy bar cost 10 cents.
What?
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farms remembers.
What it was like in Iowa back then. Tax collectors would just steal your honey trees. No big deal.
It was a big deal.
Shit. Tax collectors would steal your honey trees, which was worse than death.
It was, man. You don't steal someone's honey. That's food or money or both. You don't just steal that stuff. What's the matter with you?
Wow. If you poke Andy Rooney with a stick too long, he really gets going.
Stealing their trees, man. You don't do that.
They're honey trees. They're extinct now. Isn't that why there are no honey trees?
Them's fighting words. That's what them's are.
Almost fighting
yeah,
words.
Yeah, you're going to have a war on your hands. Or death to the pukes is what they said. Oh, come on. It's funny. It would be fun. Maybe I will write him after all. Maybe he needs a break from all this super serious nonsense. So, oh, hey, yeah, this would be fun. Let me propose this on the floor.
Well, you can add whatever you want in there because I guarantee you he's not going to look it up.
Well, he should because it's awesome.
I cannot stop thinking about the Berenstain Bears and the dad's obsession with that wild, wild honey.
Wild, wild honey, huh?
Yeah, there's a song and everything.
Oh, boy.
How you spell Berenstain?
S-T-A-I-N at the end, right?
Yeah, I thought you were starting Berenstain with an S.
No, it's Stain.
Yeah,
like,
but
like a stain on your shirt at the end.
But like, no.
Yes, that's how it's spelled.
It is, yes, and it always has been, except no. Like, that is the one of the prime examples for the whole glitch in the Matrix.
Mandela effect or whatever.
Yeah, because like, no.
Look,
I
don't remember it being spelled that way either, but it is.
See, how weird is that?
I know, it is weird, but that's.
I find that weirder than all the ones of, like, lines, classic lines from movies that don't,
well,
didn't ever happen.
I've seen probably a dozen different examples, and none of them are, all of them I remember the way they say I'm not supposed to, except the Berenstain Bears one. That one I remember different, but obviously I'm wrong. All the other ones that they talk about, it's like, no, I don't remember it the way you're saying. I remember it the way it is. So I don't know what they're talking about. But the Berenstain Bear ones is... did get me because it's like, yeah, I did not know it was spelled like that.
This just goes to my theory about you.
Well, and another thing is that it was often...
You defy all generalization.
It was often pronounced.
Yeah, Berenstain.
Or you'd hear someone pronounce it Berenstain or something and you knew that they were pronouncing it wrong.
I've heard Steen and Stain.
I think I heard Stein a couple times, like Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like,
Berenstain.
But I never corrected anyone. It's like, maybe that's the way it's pronounced.
Technically,
I don't know.
Berenstain was the name of the doctor. You're thinking of Berenstain's creature.
But you know what I'm saying. It's like people would pronounce it various ways. And it's like, yeah, that all sounds right because that's how you thought it was spelled. But it was, it's not. It's Berenstain. So.
Weird to me.
But I think when I was a kid, it was mostly pronounced Berenstain. Berenstain is how I always heard it pronounced.
I feel like I heard both. I don't know. But yeah, never Stein.
Well, I never heard Stain. I never heard Berenstain. I've never heard that before. Yeah. But then I'm looking at it. It's like, yeah, that's what it is, obviously. But people use other ones. Well, like the one that's named after Mandela, which was some, people are like, I remember that when he died and you big funeral and everything. But of course, he didn't die when they said he died when he did. I don't remember him dying before he died. I don't remember that at all.
I don't actually remember that one either.
I don't. I think there was the one about. Is it a Mandela effect thing with the movie quote from Independence Day?
Yeah, Independence Day. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And
it
he says,
way.
"Welcome to Earth." I remember it that way, and I feel bad because that one is clearly just subconscious racism. But I remember it that way. I've seen the clip since then. It's not how I remember it.
Yeah, I remember.
And a lot of people do, Luke, I am your father.
Yeah, I remembered that
doesn't
one.
Doesn't say that.
I remember that one correctly, too, because I've seen it so many times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one doesn't surprise me. And that one, to me, feels like it's that's just somebody was being glib one time, and it turned into that. Like,
well, when you think about it, if it turns into a thing people say out in the culture,
yeah,
it's got to
be
Luke. I am your father. It can't be no, I am your father, because who would know what that means?
Exactly.
So, yeah, that changed to work in
the hero
culture.
Of the first Star Wars movie, no Skywalker.
So, yeah, people, whenever they tell me, the Berenstain Bears is the only one. All the rest of them are like, no, you're just remembering it wrong. It's not, like you said, a glitch in the Matrix or an alternate reality or anything like that. Why you remember it that way, I don't know.
That wild honey.
But the thing is,
wild
are things that I remember better differently than other people. And do you know what I think about those times when I remember something different than other people?
Do you just have brain damage?
Yeah.
Yeah,
no. I never think that, well, we must both be right, and it was some kind of alternate reality. Why would you think that?
No,
why
I don't
you
think,
just understand
I don't think anybody other than Elon Musk really thinks that's true. Like, I don't, I think it's funny.
Oh, it was a joke? Okay.
Well, it's not even, it's a...
It seems like people are taking it
seriously,
though.
It's like, okay, the number of people who blame something on Mercury being in retrograde in casual conversation and the number of people who actually believe that's a thing and that matters, very different.
Yeah, okay, right. Sure.
Number. It's just a thing you say. Or, you know, like I say, somebody's walking over my grave, I just gotta chill. Like, people say that, or my ears are burning, they're talking about me, and they don't actually believe it, I don't think. I will say I had a glitch in the Matrix. I don't actually think that's true.
Deja vu.
And I don't... Yeah, deja vu I don't think of. Actually, I've seen a lot of stuff on the actual activity that happens in the brain for deja vu. Mm. And it is something. Like, it's not... Like, that one's kind of... They know how that one works.
I always just assumed it was, like, when you feel like something's familiar... It is a feeling, and so why couldn't that feeling just misfire?
And yeah, then, it's essentially your brain tricks itself into thinking it happened before,
right,
after it acquired the information right then.
That's right. I mean,
the brain is capable of really stupid ass shit.
Well, that's what I mean. And by the time you're an adult,
well, that's why I don't believe
so many mistakes.
In any supernatural, divine shit like that either. I'm like, that shit is so easy to do in our brain. All right. I'm tired of this, so we're gonna be done.
Okay.
If you like more of this, seek help professionally. Also, write in themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. And if you want to talk about what we said on the blog here, go to themagicaltalkinghead.com and tell us your thoughts. We won't read them, but the other guys might.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe you commented on there once. That was weird.
Sometimes.
So maybe don't do it then, because he might be there. All right, bye. Wild Honey.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.